this morning in Psalms 144, as David blesses the Lord. Brother Jeff was talking about his header in his Bible. Mine says that he blessed the Lord for his mercy that he's had toward him right here. But I want to preach on having a thought this morning out of Psalms 144, and I'm going to have to hurry. Got a lot to say. I want to preach on how to be happy. There's a lot of people looking for happiness, but they're looking all in the wrong place this morning. And I tell you, in the world that we're living in, folk are they're craving happiness, and they're wanting happiness in their family. They're wanting happiness in their home. They're wanting happiness in their life, happiness in the, on the job, happiness in the church. And I mean, they're just looking for happiness. And I want to preach on that this morning, how to be happy. Psalms 144, let's begin to read in verse 1. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands the war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, look, what is man that thou... Lord, what is man? That wasn't look. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou mayest account of him? A man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. And boy, ain't that true. We're here today and gone tomorrow, ain't we? Before we turn around. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, and that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets. That our oxen may be strong to labor, and there be no breaking in nor going out. That there be no complaining in our streets. Boy, what a blessing when there would be no complaining. Ain't that right? Amen. Look at verse 15. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we certainly need you. Tell you again that we come to you and just ask for help. And Lord, we just want you to be honored in everything that's said and done during the preaching time. And Lord, we certainly do need unction from the Holy One. Lord, that you'd speak to folks' hearts. There may be sitting folk here today that is unhappy. And Lord, some people know why they're unhappy. Others don't know. And Lord, there may be some folk here today that's lost, that don't know you, never been saved. Probably some of the most unhappiest people in the world. And Lord, I pray you'd save them today. But Lord, I pray that maybe there's somebody here that just needs a stirring in their heart and a reminding of what you've done for them. And Lord, to restore that joy unto them that they've lost. And Lord, we sure do love you and thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for saving us and keeping us. And save that sinner's newest tale. Now help us while we preach for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look at the definition of happy, the Oxford Dictionary tells us that happy is a feeling or a showing of pleasure or contentment. And Webster's 1828 dictionary said that it is being in the enjoyment of agreeable sensations from the possession of something good. And that which supplies pleasure or furnishes enjoyment or to be blessed. And I think today that as I look across this crowd, just about every one of us in here should be happy today. If you know the Lord, I'm getting ahead of myself, but if you know the Lord Jesus Christ today, then you should be happy. But can I say quickly by way of introduction, that friend, that true happiness is not found in what you have. Not in possession, not in tangible items and tangible things. At least the Bible tells us over there at one point, David does that. riches will make themselves wings and fly away. And Proverbs 31, when he talks about the virtuous woman, down there in Proverbs 31, I believe it's around verse 30, it talks about how that beauty is vain. And so we know that, listen, the outer things, Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, he said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And I understand that having stuff and having things seems to make life go a little easier sometimes. But just don't let it have you. But our happiness should not be centered upon our bank account or upon what we possess. And then let me say this quickly, that the world cannot give us happiness. There's a lot of people out there trying to work up happiness, but it'll never work. They go here and they go to and fro. They go to all these places. You know, they say the happiest place on earth is supposed to be Disney World. Listen, the happiest place on earth is to be with a child of God that knows that they're saved and going to heaven. Amen. You are to be happy this morning if you say, but Jesus said in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So the world cannot give us happiness this morning. And so it's not in what we possess, it's not in the places that we can go or the things that we can do. And let me say this morning that life will bring us unhappiness. It seems like our church here in the past few weeks has been faced with death out of three or four homes has faced death. And the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 3 that there is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And so we understand that mourning comes and sad times come. And let me say this, as I thought about this, I thought about what Proverbs said in verse 25, is he that taketh away a garment in cold weather and is vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. Have we ever been guilty to try to get somebody out of their grief before they were not ready to get out of their grief? Do you know it's good for you to grieve when you need to grieve? Do you know your body's made to grieve? Do you know it's made to experience and suffer through sorrow? It's made to cry in bad times. Did you know that? And a lot of times we, as Christians, and I know I'm preaching on happiness, and I don't want to be contradictory to what I'm going to preach here in just a second, but there comes times in lives that you ought to grieve. And we have to be careful. I believe that we should go and encourage folk and help folk the best that we can, but let them grieve until they get done. Now let me say this, some people get an extended grievance in their life. I remember a pastor friend of mine told me some time back, I told him about a lady in his church. Her husband died, got killed in a tragic accident, and she would try to come to church, but she just couldn't do it. The grief would overtake her and rule her life, and said she would try to come, and I just couldn't do it. And so she'd be gone for a while, and then come back, and she couldn't make it happen. And so let me say this morning that only the Lord can help you through your grief. But the Bible talks about being happy. Was there a song, I think, back in the 90s? Brother Jeff was talking about the 90s in Sunday school. Don't worry, be happy. And I wished it was that simple just to say, don't worry, be happy. But there's some things that you need to do to have happiness in your life. The Bible talks about happiness. It uses that word, I believe, 25 times in the Bible. One of them is in 1 Kings chapter 10, when the queen of Sheba comes to see King Solomon. And here's what she said. She said, happy are thy men, happy are those thy servants, these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. She said, those that are before thee, they're happy. The Bible talks about in Psalms 127 that those that have their quiver full of children said, happy is that man. And so having young'uns and grandchildren, I should make you happy. Amen. Proverbs 3 said, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. So understanding and wisdom brings us happiness. The Bible said in Proverbs 14 and verse 21, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but pay attention to this, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. That jumped off the page at me when I began to read that and study this message right here, he that hath mercy on the poor. A lot of times, and I know that I preach on our responsibility and that to the poor and what we're supposed to do, but he said, he that hath mercy on the poor. You know what mercy is? Mercy is not giving them what they deserve. Is that not what happened to us? When we got the mercy of God, we didn't get judgment in our life, but we got grace instead. You know, some people are not working. They're poor because of some of the decisions that they've made, some things that has happened in their life. And the Bible said right here, if we'll just have mercy on them, on the poor, we would be happy. But I want to look at three things this morning about what it means to be happy as a child of God. First of all, number one, knowing the Lord ought to make you happy. The Bible said down here in verse 15, happy is that people that is in such a case, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. So let me ask you this morning, do you know the Lord? Do you know Him as your Savior? Have you been in that to a place where you have trusted Him to come into your heart? Listen, this morning the Bible tells us over in the book of Acts chapter 16 when that Philippian jailer comes out there, he's heard Paul and Silas and that sing and pray down in the depths of the jail. God opens the doors with an earthquake at midnight and he springs in with a light because Paul hollered out, do thyself no harm for we are all here. And he fell down at their feet and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So he gets saved. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thine house. And the Bible goes on to tell us that they give him the word of God. And he took them home. He washed their stripes. He fed them. He set them down at his table to feed them. And then the Bible said this, that he what? Rejoiced. You know what that means? To be happy. When you rejoice in something, that means, do you know what it means to be saved? To have your sins forgiven, the slate wiped clean between you and God, and to know that heaven is your home. That ought to make us happy this morning. Hey, that ought to stir us on the inside to know that we've been forgiven. It's not our righteousness that God was looking for. It's the imputation of Jesus' righteousness to us. Amen. The Bible said, blessed is the man in whom God will not impute sin. Thank God for that. Amen. You ought to be excited this morning. I should be excited this morning. Happy to know the Lord. David said in Psalms chapter 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. There is joy in salvation this morning. Knowing that you're saved. When's the last time that you just thank God for saving you? Lord, just want to say, I'm glad to be saved and thank you for doing it this morning. Happy to be saved. Glad you dealt with my heart and I moved and got saved. And you done the saving and I didn't have nothing to do with it, Lord. It's all on you, but I sure am happy because you saved me. How many of us are happy in salvation this morning? Are you happy because of salvation? Do you know you're saved? Maybe that's your problem. You don't know that this morning. Maybe you know you're lost and need to get saved. And I'll tell you another thing that'll wear you out more than anything, and that's the doubt whether you're saved or not. And listen, I may preach on that sometime later on, but I can tell you this, doubt will wear you to death and rob you of your happiness. Not knowing, not getting that thing settled, it'll wire you out. You need to get saved and know it, friend. That way you can have the happiness of the Lord, or at least know that you're saved this morning. But in salvation, do you know Him? In salvation. But then number two, the second part of number one, I guess you might say, is do you know Him in His blessings? My wife sang that song this morning about the blessings of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Oh, man, now read what with me back in the text scripture. What did it say right here? As he talks about being rid of those that were against him and was coming against him, he said that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, but where they put everything and stored everything, that they would just be full. He said, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets. You know, we've been studying the book of Jeremiah on Wednesday night, and he talks about when he restores Israel, that he's going to bring back the shepherds and the sheep. You know what he's trying to tell them over there? He's going to bless them with all kinds of things, is what he's telling them. Because that's what he says right here. Said, just let us have thousands and ten thousands in our street, that our oxen may be strong to labor, and that there be no breaking in or going out. Nobody stealing anything. And he said that there be no complaining. And what a blessing when there's no complaining. Amen. Hey, you know that word complain. I mean, listen, that means to utter an expression of grief or to lament something. You ever just heard somebody that complains all the time? Yeah, you ever just heard somebody that all they do is just complain and complain and complain? What's the old saying? If you hung them with a new rope, they'd complain about it. Amen. I mean, they're just complainers. And you know what he said? He said, look, he said that there be no complaining. And then he said, happy is that people that is in such a case. He said, look, when God has blessed you, he said, look, we just want the blessing of God upon us, upon our possessions, upon our family, upon what we have, upon our life. And Lord, don't let us be complainers. Amen. He said, happy is it, what, people, that is in such a case. Well, when you begin to look at what all God's done for you, are you not happy? You're not happy. Most of us are driving some fine vehicles out there. We didn't have to walk to church. We didn't have to ride a mule to get here. We didn't run out of gas. I don't think you did. I hope you didn't. Listen, you're all here today. Your health seems to be holding on and doing all right. Listen, the Bible said over in Proverbs 10, that's the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow with it. Listen, I'm so glad to be blessed of God today. That ought to stir your heart to think that God, what did he say up here? He said, Lord, what is man that thou takest the knowledge of him, and the son of man that thou makest an account of him? Hey, it's just amazing that God even wants to bless us this morning. You ought to be happy with the blessings of God. A lot of people, they look at what God has done for them and think that God has not done enough. If God saved you, he's done enough. He's done plenty. Let me say this. God's done enough whether you come and get saved or not. Amen. He sent his only begotten son and had to die for me and you. And praise God. Listen, he's done enough this morning, Lord, excite you. But then he blesses us. On top of that, happy is the people that is in such a case. Look around at everything that you got, the home you live in, your family, your vehicles, the money that you may or may not have. I don't know, friend. I don't know about your bank account and all those things. He talks about where there'd be no complaining. You know, I'll go over here and read, but I believe it's in Psalms 133. I know it is. In Psalms 133, he talks about the brethren dwelling together in unity. He said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of the garments. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So it's just a good thing when folk dwell together in unity. Man, I'm telling you, I don't do well with drama. I hate drama. I hate it with a passion. I mean, I really do. My wife will tell you that. I don't want it in my home. I don't want it in this church. I try to watch every bit of it. We just never had a lot of drama in our family. I'll just be honest with you, not that I've seen anyway, and not a whole lot here at the church. He said, what? He said, how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. That's a blessing, man. I mean, when folk just get along, not for the sake of I don't believe in being united over false doctrine for the sake of getting along. But I'll be honest with you, I think it's good and I think God loves it and he blesses it. Listen, when we get unified around him and we dwell in unity around him this morning, it's a blessing. But he said, when there be no complaining in our streets. I like being happy. Don't you like being happy? I do. I don't want to be sad. Can I ask you something? You ever just seen some people, that's all they are. They're just sad. Sad all the time. They got the mother grubs. They complain all the time or they're sad all the time. I mean, I got my problems. I have my days. And listen, I understand that and I know that. And I believe some of that's just part of the ministry that wires on me sometimes. But I really like being happy. I really do. I like being happy. I like having a smile on my face. I like feeling good. I like thinking good. I just want to be happy. And sometimes for you to be happy, you're going to have to think about what Jesus done for you at Calvary and the blessings that God has had on you. Amen. I love it. Having him as your help. Psalms 146 said, happy is he that hath the God Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. How many times you needed help and you cried out to God and God came by and helped? Now, I'm talking about how to be happy. I'm talking about needing help and you cried out and God. Hey, listen, have you ever physically needed help and you had to call somebody or somebody showed up? And boy, you just tickled to death as there because they could help you. Amen. It didn't fix the problem necessarily, but at least you had some help to get through the problem. Amen. That's always good, ain't it? Ain't you always glad when you can call somebody and they'll come by and they'll help? Ain't you glad when people, I'll tell you as pastor here in this church, you know one of the things I like to do, now preach, I just want to be a help. Just want to be a help. The Bible talks about over in one point, talks about having the gifts of help. Just being a help to people. You know, some people don't have to be out in the forefront. They're all the time in the back helping. Some people's out front, some people's in the back, but they're helping. Some people don't want to be out front. They just want to help. You got to watch them people that want to be out front. Amen. Them's the people you got to watch out for. But be a help. Bible said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Can we boldly say that? The Lord's my helper. Ain't it such a blessing? Don't it bring happiness when God helps? Maybe in a situation in your family, maybe in health, I don't know. But God just comes by and undergirds you and assists you and relieves you. And I mean, just builds you up. And he's just a help to you and brings you through it. Don't that make you happy? That we say, well, God showed up. Makes me happy when God shows up, when he's a help. Well, I'm telling you, when I need help preaching, I'm glad he shows up. I need help all the time. Amen. Help. I mean help. That means we can't do it on our own when we need help. Amen? And boy, happiness. Talking about how to be happy. He said, happy is the man that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Who's your help? Who are you leaning on? Who are you trying to get help from? Mom, daddy's good help. Wives and husbands are good help. Children's good help. But boy, only the God in heaven can help us like he can. Amen? Amen. Listen. He said, not only is he my help, but he said in Psalms 146, whose hope is in the Lord is God. Who are you hoping in? You know, when you hope in something, that means that you've got confidence in something going to happen out there in the future, and at least you've got an expectation of it happening. That's hope. You know why I'm happy? Jesus is coming to get me. I got a hope in the rapture. I got a hope in my death. When I die, I don't have to worry about dying. Now, I get kind of concerned about how I'm leaving here, but I'll be honest with you, I really do. Man, I was thinking this morning as I was getting ready, I kind of want to be like Sister Jennifer's grandmother there as she testified there Wednesday night, you know, talking about she had her bags packed and was waiting on the Lord to come by and get her. Man, that's what she's doing. She done packed her bags and was waiting on the Lord to come and get her. Done marked all her friends' names out. Didn't have no more friends. She'd outlived every one of them. I'm telling you, that's when he comes to get me, that's how I want to be. Amen. I want to be waiting on him. But I got a hope in that. I got a hope in what I done at 14 years old and hope in that book right there. What'd you do at 14 years old? I come and I knelt and asked Jesus to save me. And I believe he did. Listen, I put my faith and my hope and my trust in him that night for him to save me. And I didn't understand. I know I talk about that a lot because I think we get in our minds sometimes preacher, I didn't understand everything that I was doing that night. I didn't either. I just know that I needed to get saved. Amen? I just know, let me put my glasses back on. I just know that I needed to get saved. I had enough understanding to know that if I come and ask him to save me, he would save me. And I trust him for that. And I put my hope in the word right there that's sitting on that pulpit that what he told me was the truth. Amen? That if I would come, he would save me. If I would come and trust him, he would keep me. Hey, listen, I'm happy today because my hope is in him. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people that are very disappointed today and are unhappy. They're going to be disappointed and unhappy at election time. Their man didn't win. I don't know who your man is, if you even got a man. Listen, but my hope's not in Washington, D.C. I hope it goes well. I hope it goes good. I wish things would get right up there. But I'm telling you, my hope ain't in D.C. My hope's in Christ Jesus the Lord this morning. Whether I'm going to serve him does not change who's in Washington, D.C., who's sitting on the Supreme Court. All those things, my hope is in him. Happy is the man hath God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Got hope in everything else except in the Lord. I pray that you'll put your hope in him. You got to know him. You got to know him in salvation, know him by his blessings and his help and his hope. But then number two, then our obedience to the Lord brings happiness. When we rebel and disobey the Lord, I believe our happiness is took from us. Because David said in Psalms 51, as he was repenting and he was getting right with the Lord, he said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold," what was it? "Uphold me with thy free spirit." He said, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He had been robbed of it. Why had he been robbed of it? Because of sin. You know what will rob you of your joy? Sin. Disobedience. It'll rob me and it'll rob you. I mean, listen, the Bible talks about over there in Psalms or Proverbs 28. He said, "Happy is that man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." It's going to take it from you. Take your Bible and go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. The Lord is, he has washed his disciples' feet at this time. And in John 13, he had girded himself. He had washed them. And Peter said, "Lord, you ain't going to wash my feet." And the Lord said, "Well, you have no part with me, Peter." He said, "Well, then wash all of me." And he went over and said, "But he that is clean every week," you know, he says, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every week." And you're all clean, but not all. Talking about Judas right there. But look in verse 14 of John 13. He said, back up to verse 13. He said, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." What's he talking about right there? He's talking about being a servant. Look in the very next verse. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." Then look in verse 17. "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." He said, if you know them. He didn't say you're happy to know them. He said you're happy to do them. To be a servant. To have a servant's heart, a servant's actions, and a servant's mindset. See, it's one thing to be in sin and lose your joy, but he said right here, if you would just become a servant, you'd be happy. What was going to make the prodigal happy? He was coming back home with the idea of being a servant. He wasn't coming home with the idea of being a son. He was coming home with the idea of being a servant. He was going to be happy to be a servant. What does it take to have a servant's heart? Jesus Christ the Lord put all them men before him. Do you realize that? That night, as they were fixing to take him, just in a few hours, he was going to go be tried. He was going to go pray here in just a little bit. They were going to come and get him. Then they were going to try him. And then they were going to kill him. And he was still teaching his disciples about being a servant and having a servant's heart. A servant's heart means that we forget about us and look at everybody else. A servant's heart means we have to serve, don't it? The Lord, after he ate, I mean, he took that towel, he girded himself, and went around to each of his disciples and washed their feet. How many of us would do that? Now, listen, we're not primitive Baptists, and we don't believe that washing feet is one of the ordinances of the church. But how many of us would be in a place of a servant to where we'd be willing to do that? Being a servant brings happiness. I think sometimes we forget that. Being a servant means that we're obeying the Lord, but then we're in a place to where God can use us. Are you in a place where God can use you? Are you in the place where God will use you? I pray sometimes, and sometimes I think the Lord gets tired of me asking this, Lord, am I where I need to be? And I always get back, you're where you need to be. Just need to be doing it. Right? Happy are you? Not if you know them, but if you do it. There's a difference in knowing and doing. There's a difference in being a hearer of the word and a doer of the word, James said. You know, all through Joseph's life, all through the suffering and all through that he went through, he remained faithful and a servant to the Lord. His brothers threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. He ended up in Potiphar's house where she lied on him. He ended up down in prison where he was forsaken and forgotten by the baker and the butler down there. But he finally made it to the palace, didn't he? Why? He remained faithful as a servant the whole time. And a lot of times we try to make things happen. I thought about this while I was studying. Instead of trying to make things happen, we just need to serve the Lord and wait on Him, be happy where He's got us, and be faithful to work where He's got us, and He'll get us where He wants us to go. Not all the times are a happy place. Do you think that Joseph was happy when he was in the pit? Do you think he was happy down there in Potiphar's? I don't know if he was happy in Potiphar's house or in the prison or not, but I do know this, that each time God brought him into love and favor with whoever he was around, God took care of it. Isn't that amazing? I think Joseph had a unique spirit about him. When you're doing what God wants you to do, you'll be happy. This whole message stemmed out of one thought that I had. Of being where God wants you to be is the happiest place on earth. Being in the center of His will, you'll be happy. Why? He'll be happy with you. I had a young man come by the house the other day. I'm going to marry him and his fiance here in a couple of weeks. And there was some things that I didn't tell him the other day. And I said, when you come by, I said, I shortchanged you on some things. And so I told him what I needed to tell him. And sometimes you got to do that to get in the place where you need to be. You can't make everybody else get to where they need to be, but you can sure enough get you where you need to be and say what you need to say and do what you need to do. Do it with love and do it with compassion, but you need to do it. And sometimes that's harder said than done. Number three. Not only is it obedience to the Lord, I'm talking about how to be happy. We come in here with frowns on our face and wore out and let the weather tell us how to feel. If it's cloudy outside, we're cloudy inside. If the sun's shining on the outside, we're shining on the inside. It shouldn't be that way. It just shouldn't be that way. And I'm just as guilty as some of you are, friend. If it's dreary outside, I'm dreary on the inside. Wishing that the sun would shine. We got so used to the sun shining. When I was up the other night, what was that, Friday night, when it stormed there. It did out at the house. Anyway, I don't know if it did your house, but it thundered and lightning. I was sitting there on the couch about 12:30 and dozing off. And man, it thundered real good. And Zach, I thought, what was that? My house is falling down. I didn't know it was supposed to rain. I looked at the radar and sure enough, it's about on top of us. Hadn't seen it in so long. Happiness. Happiness comes in knowing the Lord, knowing Him as your Savior, in His blessings, but also in His help and having your hope in Him. Not only in obedience and that to stay away from sin. Because sin, friend, I'm just going to be honest with you. Brings unhappiness. And by the way, you can't serve two masters. You can't be out in the world and in here at the same time trying to serve two masters. You'll be unhappy too. No man can serve two masters. He'll either what? He'll either hate the one and love the other. He'll cleave to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. You'll be unhappy. You ever watch people try to serve in the world and serve in church? Serve God, serve out there? They're the unhappiest people I've ever seen in my life. Number three. Now this one right here, when I studied this, I thought, Lord, how are we going to preach this? I'm talking about how to be happy. You know, the Bible said in James chapter 5, said, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. So notice who he's using as his example, Job. He said, happy, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So in the Christian's life, when suffering comes, should bring happiness. That seems all kinds of wrong, don't it? Look with me. If you go over in that to talking about suffering for the Lord, take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. We're really going to shout it right here. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, do you remember why Job suffered? Why did Job suffer? Job suffered because he loved God. He was a faithful and just man that eschewed evil. And God told Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That's what he said. So he set Job up in his suffering because he loved God. Now, that seems a little strange when I say it that way. And it seems a little odd when I say it that way. But look in 1 Peter chapter 3 and look in verse 14. But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. This does not seem to me, I'll read on here in a minute, but it just does not seem to me that suffering and happiness would be in the same sentence together. He said, happy are ye, and be not afraid for their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for what? Well-doing, than for evil-doing. So if we're going to suffer, I would rather suffer in being right than in being wrong. I understand we suffer. You know why we suffer? I've preached that message probably a handful of times here over the past 19 years. And sometimes we suffer simply because we're in this body. Job 14:1, man is born, woman is a few days and full of trouble. Now let me park right here and get you to think about something. You ever heard somebody say this? Well, they're going through all this, so that must be the will of God. You know, we're not Calvinists in salvation. But in everything else that we do, we turn into Calvinists. Well, it must be the will of God for that to happen, or that wouldn't have happened. I do believe that God knows. But you know, sometimes some of the things that you suffer through was of your own doing and your own making. And God didn't want you to suffer through that, but we done it anyway. Well, it must have been God's will. No, it ain't always God's will. Well, does God's will not always happen, preacher? No. See, that's where we foul up. I know I'm getting off the message, but let me park right here. The Calvinistic view and the hyper-Calvinistic view says that no matter what happens, God's will is going to happen. It's going to turn out that way. Well, if that's the truth, every sinner that was ever upon the face of the earth would get saved. Right? It's the will of God that all come to repentance and that none should perish. Ain't that what the Bible says? All right. Now we're getting somewhere, I hope. So a lot of times we look at suffering. Some suffering is we're simply in the body. Some suffering is of our own making. David suffered simply because of his sin. I don't think God wanted him to suffer. But he done it anyway because of his sin. I hope I ain't messing y'all up this morning. But you know that some suffering is simply for the glory of God. When his disciples come over there and was talking to him about Lazarus being dead. And here's what the Lord said. He said, this sickness is not unto death. Well, we know he died. But it wasn't just so that he would die. He said, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You know why we should be happy when we suffer for right? Because hopefully God's going to get the glory out of our life. We're going to shine. And he'll get the glory for it. Flip over in first. Am I making sense? Help me out now. 1 Peter chapter 4, look in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, there it is, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now he's talked about rejoicing. He's talked about his glory being revealed. But he talks about rejoicing. He talks about being glad. He talks about having exceeding joy. He said, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evil doer, as a busybody. In other means matters. But if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Job simply suffered because he lived right. I don't know any other way to look at that if you go over and read the book of Job. He done nothing wrong to suffer. God allowed Satan to put that on him, to try him. You know, some suffering is that way. You know what? At the end of it all, he said, look at Job's life and look at what God done for him. He brought him through it and then blessed him at the end of it all. Or to make you happy. Last of all, talking about suffering. If you go to if you go to the book of Job, chapter 5, he said, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore and bindeth up, he woundeth, and his hands make whole. When God corrects us, or to make you happy. When God chastens us, or to make you happy. One, it proves that we're his. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about, talking about the correction of God in whom, let me go over and look at that real quick. I want to get that right so that you'll understand that. Hebrews 12, he talks about, he said, if you endure chastening, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. He said, look, if you're sinning and God ain't correcting you, you ain't part of his. How many times have we messed up and God has corrected us? The Holy Spirit has screamed out. The Word of God has spoke to our heart. It makes me happy. On the inside, I am convicted. But yet, at the same time, on the inside, I think, boy, I'm one of his. And he loves me so much, he wants me to do right. Sometimes his correction is not because we've done something wrong, or it's simply just to make us better. John chapter 15, he said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Sometimes he corrects us, not that there's anything major wrong in our life, but he is just trying to take out some things that really don't belong there. You know, when God begins to do that in your life, that ought to make you happy, or to make me happy. Sometimes we complain about it. Are you happy this morning? Let's bow our heads this morning. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come and pray as we get a little music this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet with your heads bowed. But are you happy? Are you truly happy? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Do you know what it means to be saved and going to heaven? Do you know those things? Only Jesus can make you happy. Are you obeying Him like you should? Following Him like you should? Where God wants you to be, in the center of His will? If not, you can come and get right with Him today. But maybe you're Maybe you're suffering today and you're saying, "Preacher, I sure ain't happy about it." Listen, if he's there to see you through it and you're suffering because of right things. Or maybe God's just trying to fix some things in your life. Well, that ought to thrill us that God cares enough to want to fix some things in our life. I remember when I had some things in my life that didn't belong there, and God began to bother me about them things. And I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, if you don't really help me with this right here and take this away, I'm not going to be able to handle it." And you know what? It wasn't too long after I began to pray that, and you know, he began to help. It was conviction and it was hard, but I know he done it because he loved me. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come.